I'm going to say this as straight as I possibly can. I am begging you, if you're a parent and you've got kids there, that this subject is just too upsetting for your young children. Please get them out of the room or change the station. We urge you to exercise parental discretion.
Hey, Uncle, how much you give me for this radio, huh? Now, this hot little old radio, man, is worth plenty of rubles, man. It's got lots of juice. You got shortwave, police call, boats. Late at night, man, you get out of space. Come on, Uncle, just make me an offer. Now, this is $100 radio, man. It's got a clear tone. Boy, that's clear as a mother's old bell. Let me see. Come on, baby. Show the man your power, baby. Blast him! Give him some of that tone! Oh, man. You radio, you mother!
Hey, Jim, what about TV? You like TV?
What?
New thing, Jim. Television. Oh, pictures.
Yeah.
No pictures.
Why not?
Everything these days is pictures. Pictures and a lot of noise. Nobody even knows how to talk. Just grunt at each other.
Babies that were sacrificed for Satan.
I will probably have nightmares tonight about it.
From the nightmares, to the running around the room when they disclose, to the latching on, to the crying and saying, Mommy, 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 don't go out, because if you go out, they're going to kill you. Threats, intimidation, fear.
Now, if you're going to stay cool, you got to wail. You got to put something down. You got to make some jive. Don't you know what I'm talking about? Well, that's all I'm saying.
You're a bad man. You're a very bad man.
Rejection of parental values. Unusual interest in books on Satanism, black magic, or witchcraft. Obsession with rock music groups using satanic symbols or references. Rejection of friends. Preference for being alone. Meditation, chanting, use of new vocabulary.
Is it the force of evil? Does it disrupt? Is it a force for everything negative?
There's two kind of laws, honey. One for the rich, and one for the poor.
He sees all and knows all. He's wise. He's kind. He is fair. He loves truth and goodness.
Listen, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the dogs, the filth. Here is someone who stood up.
Hey, buddy. This is the state of New Jersey, and I don't care who you are.
Ah, yes. The state of New Jersey, where most of us live, even if we exist there physically or not. The state of New Jersey is also a state of mind and a state of health, poor. This is Chris T. on WFMU Psychology Storms. You're listening to Aerial View, the original and still the best phone-in talk show. Hey, who said you could laugh? I didn't say you could laugh. It's my new slogan. I'm like the original Rays. And today we're talking about, yes, old farts. It's a show that couldn't wait to be done. The number here is 201-678-7743. I am worried about becoming one of those. An old fart, I mean. I'm worried about, you know, becoming the kind of crotchety old man that we all hate. Listen, if you're going to make comments, I'd much rather you make them so that the audience can hear them too, Bronwyn. Jeez, standing back there and, like, making little asides. I love it. There's no microphone anymore. Who took away the remote mic?
I don't know. Somebody always takes it away.
Let's see. We have a call here, Bronwyn. Hello, welcome to the air.
I'm an old fart because my kids gave me a coffee cup.
What do you mean?
My kids gave me a coffee cup. It's black and it says old fart.
Oh, well, gee, isn't that nice of your kids? Did you slap them?
No, I didn't slap them. I appreciate it because it's true.
Well,
I am an old fart.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
But it's fun.
What do you mean it's fun?
Well, because you can have fun being an old fart.
How?
You could. Jeez, I don't know. It's just it's all in state of mind, I guess. You don't have to be crotchety all the time. You can still be funny and be an old fart at the same time.
Those are not the old farts I'm talking about, though. Well, thanks for calling.
All right, have a good one.
Bye. I'm talking about the other kind of old farts. The kind, like, the guy who used to live across the street from me. Mr. Stein. Mr. Stein was an old fart in the truest sense of the word. He was mean and ornery and nasty to everybody who was younger than he. And that meant most people in the world. Mr. Stein, from the time I can remember, was older than dirt. And his one trait, his one thing that he loved more than anything in the world was his property. He was one of those type of people that founded this country. So in love with property and its protection that little else mattered, including, yes, human life. And as kids, you know, we would play on the street in front of his house because it was directly across from my house. And things would go in there, into his heavily wooded front yard. Bats and balls, frisbees, you name it. And they would never come out. Hello, welcome to the air. Hey, nobody's there. 201-678-7743 is the phone number here. And I still remember the fear I would feel if I were elected to go retrieve whatever item went into his yard. He had hedges all around his yard. And behind the hedges, he had a fence. He was one of these guys for whom hedges just weren't enough. These were fortified hedges. And there was a hole in a secret spot in the hedges in the fence where you can go through. And you would get into his yard and it'd be like another land. It'd be like time had stood still. And even though the sun may be shining, it was dark in his yard. And then you would like be looking around for whatever article it was you were supposed to get. And you would try to grab it and be out of the yard before he realized that someone had penetrated his property. Now, it may take half a minute, maybe a minute, but it seemed like an eternity. It seemed like any moment he would come out of his front door and say, "What are you doing in my yard?" Which happened often enough to spread the legend of Mr. Stein. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, Chris. Your story reminds me of a friend of mine, a next-door neighbor. We used to play wiffle ball in their backyard, and, you know, the ball would go over his fence, and he would come out and retrieve it, and we'd never see it again. Frisbees, footballs, all, you know, the same thing as you. But then one day, well, for like 2 weeks, we didn't see the guy after, you know, one event. And the smell got to be really bad after about 2 weeks, and one of the neighbors called the police, and the guy had died and just sat in his living room there for like 2 weeks.
You're kidding me.
No, I swear he died, and his body rotted in the living room. Like,
were you able to retrieve all of your...
No, we weren't able to get him back.
Now, did he die alone?
He died alone, yeah.
Not surrounded by friends or family?
No, surrounded by like wiffle balls and bats and footballs and Nerf footballs and that kind of thing.
See, that's my other fear.
That you'll die alone surrounded by Nerf footballs?
Yeah, that as an old fart, no one will care about me.
Yeah.
And it will be like 2 weeks before the odor gets bad enough. Although in my case, because of my Mediterranean heritage, it might take only a week.
That's beautiful. You're a lucky man.
So I won't have to wait around 2 weeks to be discovered.
Well, you're lucky, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, I am sort of lucky, aren't I?
Yeah. All right, Chris.
So, thanks. Thanks for calling.
All right.
But, you know, you slip into old farthood. No one becomes an old fart overnight. It's something that sneaks up on you gradually. You find yourself muttering, "Those kids, those damn kids." And you find yourself, you know, basically hating everybody under a certain age group. Oh, you might feel that those 21 and over are okay. But what about the 21 and under set? How do you feel about them? Hello, welcome to the air.
I have a theory. What if these people were always old farts? I mean, even at 20 or 30. Have you ever witnessed the change?
Yes. Yes.
Have you?
Yes.
Who?
I used to work in a bakery, and there was a guy there named Kurt,
mm-hmm.
who was my age now. This mm-hmm. is going back to when I was 18 or 19.
Right.
And he was a young old fart.
Right.
I mean, he was a young guy. He wasn't even in his, you know, 30s yet. He was probably late 20s. and he listened to WNEW AM, and he was as conservative as all heck, and he just, he wanted so much to be old, you know, you could just tell it by talking to him that he had nothing to do with youth or youth culture or...
So that's what I'm saying, is that if this guy was around when he was 70 and the kids thought he was an old fart, they might think, oh, he drifted into this, but in fact, he probably always was one. So, you know, that's the theory, that maybe...
Well, today we're trying to figure out what leads to becoming an old fart. I mean, how can I avoid being an old fart?
I don't think you will, really. I mean, if you know, if my theory is correct, then you probably won't become one. Probably the people are already, you know, sort of farty at the moment are going to really become them. I wouldn't worry about it. So you have no show.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for calling. I'm just going to play music now. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hello, Chris. This is Martha.
Hi, Martha.
I used to know an old fart named Baldy, and he was surrounded by thunder and lightning. He used to go around and try to beat up the kids when their parents weren't looking. He was the ultimate old fart.
Oh, you guys like to tell jokes and giggle and kid around, huh? Giggling like a bunch of young bros in the schoolyard. Well, let me tell a joke.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Yes, this is Tetley. Who's to say that the kids aren't the old farts, and it's the older people who are the kids?
I don't know, Tetley. Explain that one to me. How do you figure?
Well,
How does that make any kind of sense? In what world?
Well, for example, in Tetley's world, but no. Anyway, for example, what you call youth culture today is just...
Is that Tetley like Ice T? I mean, is that Ice T's first name, Tetley?
No.
Or Lipton?
No, it's Tetley Jaguar.
Your name is not really Tetley Jaguar.
Sure. Yes, it is.
I don't buy that for a minute, but go ahead, okay. Tetley.
All right, well, like what you call youth culture today is really nothing but something that is permeated by the multinational corporations on the youth of today. You know?
You're using permeated in the wrong sense of the word. I think you mean perpetrated.
Oh, thank you for your correction, but...
okay. No, I'm saying...
You know?
I understand what you're saying. You think that new styles and fashions and youth culture doesn't come from the youth, but from outside of the youth?
Exactly.
And it's just something that's sold to them as new?
Right.
Okay, yeah. So young folks don't have any new ideas of their own.
Right.
Basically. How old are you? I mean, what age group would you put yourself in?
I'm older than the ocean and younger than the sea.
Hey, man, it's just like a line from a Jimi Hendrix tune. I'm older than the ocean and younger than the sea? Tetley. I am Tetley. Say that again, and when you're through, say, I am Tetley.
I am Tetley.
I like that. Wow. Let me see if I can guess, but you probably play music of some kind.
Yeah.
What kind of music?
Well, I play, like, guitar into rock, and I found myself kind of slipping into old fatherhood, but when I got my band started back up, it kind of, like, reverse the process, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, playing music will probably keep you young.
Yeah, yeah.
And who's some of your favorite musicians?
Oh, well, let me see. Joe Jackson.
And speaking of Jimi Hendrix, did you hear the new Chevy Camaro commercial where they play Fire in the background?
You kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. I think Jimi Hendrix's dad is selling the rights to his music.
Oh, yeah?
Because I think he's on hard times, Jimi Hendrix's dad.
Yeah.
And rather than people come forward and say, hey, Jimi Hendrix's dad, let's have a benefit and help you out or something, he's selling the rights to that music.
Somebody has to talk to him.
So you see this Chevy commercial, and you see all these nice young white people, and the tagline of the commercial is from the country that invented rock and roll. And in the background, you hear, down, 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 down. And then they go, you know, let me stand next to your fire. And it really hurt me. It hurt me very deeply. Jimi Hendrix was one musical artist whose music I never thought I would hear behind a car commercial. And boy.
Oh, man.
So I upset you tonight, didn't I?
Yeah, well, you know.
I'm sorry, Mr. Tetley.
I'll get over it.
What was your last name again?
Jaguar.
Oh, Tetley Jaguar.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
All right, thanks, Chris.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, I wanted to speak to the DJ.
Well, you are.
Oh, I am.
Yeah. Except I'm the talk show host. I'm not the DJ.
Oh, okay. Talking about old farts. There used to be an old lady in my neighborhood where I grew up. And
did she live in a shoe?
No, she lived in a big old house that her family built. And it turned out, you know, we used to play stickball, and the balls would go in there, and her son would take the balls and cut them up. But it turned out, in later years, you know, we found out...
Was this like the Adams family or something?
No. Actually, rumor had it that she was the first woman doctor in New Jersey. Dr. Jakes was her name.
Dr. Jekyll.
Yeah, well, anyway, so I guess, what that guy was saying about the young kids, you know, my daughter looks at pictures of me from the 60s and said, asked me if I had a helmet on my head, and I said, no, it was my hair.
A helmet? What, how short was your hair?
No, it wasn't short, it was long.
Oh, it was
like
long.
A football helmet, you know?
Oh.
So I had to explain to her that if we dressed like the kids today, you know, we would have been called nerds back in the 60s. That's all I have to say.
Okay, the kids today meaning what? The young, clean-cut kids? What?
Yeah, clean-cut, you know, muscles, this, that, and the other thing.
Okay, did you consider yourself a conformist or a non-conformist when you were a kid? Did you think that you were a rebel?
Well, I didn't think I was a rebel, but I thought, you know, there were things that had to be changed.
Uh-huh.
And, I don't know, kids, I don't know if they're comfortable or what today.
I think they're not so much comfortable as just distracted. I think there's so many distractions available today.
Oh, well, that's probably true, too, yeah, you know.
These kids today, let me tell you about these kids today.
Yeah, well, there's nothing threatening them, I guess, other than AIDS, you know, stuff like that. But
yeah, I think that could really change a generation, though.
Yeah. Okay,
anyway,
nice talking to you. That's all I want to say.
Thanks for calling.
Hi, would you like to speak to the DJ? Welcome to the air.
Oh, hi. No, I don't want to speak to DJ. I want to speak to you.
Okay.
Yeah, listen, I think one of the first steps is not the first step. To old fogeydom is cynicism. I think once you become cynical about things, you become old.
I don't care. I think you're wrong about
no,
that.
No, well, you would because you're very cynical.
Oh.
At another level, I'm sorry. I heard myself. I wasn't used to that. As far as the Jimi Hendrix things go, that's MCA. They own all that now. They sold that to Chevy, not Jimi Hendrix's father. MCA bought the rights to all the Jimi Hendrix stuff, and that's why that's happening. The majors.
Whose side are you on, son?
Our side, sir.
Don't you love your country?
Yes, sir.
How about getting with the program? Why don't you jump on the team and come on in for the big win?
Say something?
Yes, sure. Oh, jeez. I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm so cynical and flippant. Cynical and flippant. What a lousy combination, huh? Yeah, this is Aerial View you're listening to, and it's on WFMU, Uppsala College, East Orange. And I'm scared, just like everybody else, of old age. If you live long enough to be old... It's not like it's a good thing. It's not like you're rewarded for that somehow. Living long. I guess life is supposed to be its own reward. You know? But every day I see these old guys shuffling around. They can barely get up and down stairs. And they look so sad and miserable and lonely. And it makes them mean. They just become mean. And they've got nothing to talk about anymore. There's a guy out of Coney Island who, every time he sees me, stops me and starts telling me about his son who sells socks for a living. And he tells me the same story every time. It's like he doesn't remember me from the last time, or he does remember me and he just wants to tell me again or something. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yes, I think my parents are all farts. They should be thrown in the cornfield.
-678-7743. But you know what old age is?
It's a mystery. It's a mystery wrapped in a riddle inside an enigma.
It's a mystery to me. And I guess I haven't had very good examples, I mean, of growing old gracefully. There's a few I can think of. I think William Burroughs makes a good old man. You know, he's sort of got class. As opposed to Ken Kesey, let's say. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hello, Chris. I think one thing that's good to keep in mind is, like, you don't want to overdo it, because nothing, you know, nothing looks worse than, like, you know, like an older guy, like, you know, trying to act really young, like jumping around, like, you know, the dance floor when it looks like kind of like, you know, like a comedy act or something like that, you know.
What old men are you thinking about? Any?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I guess it's a stereotypical type of thing to say, but, like, I mean, once, you know, you'll run into, like, you know, people that, like, really, like, try to, like, act young, and, like, they don't really, I don't know, you know, it's not really, you know, coming from the heart, you could say.
Okay, they don't carry on with any kind of dignity.
Yeah, that's, yeah, like you were saying before about having the class, you know.
Well, that's why I refer to William Burroughs, because he always seems to carry himself with some dignity and some class, but yet he's got all of these really bizarre ideas about things.
Which he's always had, you know.
He's always had those. He's always had those bizarre ideas, and he doesn't seem, as he grows older, to become, I don't know, stagnant.
No,
and I guess that's that's the real secret to becoming an old fart, is just to become stagnant, and not to let anything affect you anymore. It's why it's the same reason why people stop listening to music at a certain age, and that's where they stop.
Really? I mean, what do you mean?
I think that people, in many cases, listen to music that reminds them of times when they were younger and happier.
Well, that's true.
And they don't listen to anything new. It's like, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But, I mean, it's like what somebody said before about, like, you know, you could be an old fart when you're, you know, 25, I guess. You know. So I guess you kind of have it in you. Not that people couldn't change, I guess, as they grow older, maybe get more mellow or... You know,
and I think the Reagan era really generated a lot of young old farts. I think that there's many people I know who are extremely conservative in their views.
Oh, that's definitely true.
And
at the same time, the you know, throughout the 80s and even now, much more so, this, like, all we're bombarded with is, like, young, and, like, even as, like, the yuppie people, that generation
it's
getting
it's
older.
Too,
it's like, it's okay, now it's okay to, like, you know, okay, well, you're 50, well, all right, that's not so bad anymore, it seems now, because, like, there's so many more, you know, and they're, like, the ones that are, like, pulling the strings as far as the images that are being controlled, you know, on TV. So it's like getting older is, like, more, you know, it's young, getting old, being older is younger now, it seems, like, you know.
It's,
like,
okay, you mean?
Yeah, it's getting that way.
The graying of America?
Yeah, because that generation that's getting to be, you know, late 40s and 50s now is... You know, obviously doesn't want to grow old, or, you know, wants to cling on to their, you know, vision of youth or whatever.
Too bad, ain't it?
Yes, it is.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, Chris, bye-bye.
201-678-7743. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I know why you become an old fart.
Why? Why have I become an old fart?
Not you. Not you personally, in general.
Okay.
Most people that buy homes become old farts because they worry about stupid things like their grass and stuff like that. And get those kids off my lawn.
I think home ownership leads to a certain amount of that.
Definitely.
I think you're right about that. I don't think that there's anything wrong with owning a home.
No, neither do I.
But I think when you start obsessing about, you know, your home and the things in it,
and you have to worry about it,
you become really insular, you know.
Right.
And
well, that was my theory on.
It's a damn good theory. Did you name this theory?
No, I didn't.
It's not like the theory of relativity or anything. It doesn't have a name.
No.
Okay. Think of a name.
Okay.
And call it, you know, make sure that it's your theory and no one else can lay claim to it.
Okay.
Okay?
How about we call it the partial aerial view old fart theory number one?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Patent that theory. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi. This is something that I'm assuming your age, but like my peers and myself are getting to. At what age do you find that certain behavior or certain fashion or certain whatever is unbecoming and too youthful? And how does one deal with that?
I think whenever you try to adapt the dress and manners of the generation, you know, before you or after yours... I think that
you could sometimes look ridiculous. I don't know that how many people have made.
But no, well, let's take for example, say in 1979, 1980, or whatever, early 80s, you're a happy skinhead, okay? And now it's 13 years later, and say you're like 34 or something like that. Are you still a happy skinhead, or do you have a normal haircut? You know, I mean, and how did you? You know, how do you go about that? You know, how do you make those decisions and rationalize them?
That's a really good question.
You know, that's a hard thing to deal with. Like, for myself, you know.
Well, if you're still a skinhead, does that mean that you've come to see the skinhead way of life as yours? That you would rather be a skinhead than anything else? I mean.
I guess that's how some people look at it.
Are you a skinhead?
No. Okay. I just use that as an example. But say if you're. You know, like I know a guy, here's an example, who's like a real glam rock kind of guy. I mean, he wears spandex and stuff around the house. He spends too much money on his hair. You know, this guy's pushing like, I don't know, he's like in his mid-late 40s. You know, I mean, at what point do you say, okay, I can deal with that, you know, even
does
if
he
I
look,
am an incredible
Does he look silly to you?
Yeah, no. I mean, he carries it well. I mean, he's... You know, he doesn't seem like somebody who's like all skitzed out about stuff like this.
Uh-huh.
But like, for example, I've seen people like, you know, maybe in a club scene, and you look at somebody and you're like, you know, holy crap, you know, what are they doing? You know,
that's an old guy.
Oh, like an old guy or an old gal, say.
Uh-huh.
Like, how many times have you gone to a club and seen some woman who's maybe 40-ish, you know, but she's dressing like, you know,
like her daughter.
Yeah. You know, like Betsy Johnson or something.
I think what you have to ask yourself is this. Is that person happy? I mean, what do we really care? I mean, if they're happy...
I don't care. My whole thing was, you know, how do different people deal with that?
With what exactly?
Like, when you make these decisions, you know, you say, okay, I'm not going to wear my leather jacket every day, you know, even if it's 80 degrees in the summer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I mean, there's a lot of people that I think... You know, go through a change and say, okay, I'm going to be respectable now. I'm going to be, you know, status quo. But there's a lot of people, you know, like good examples that are like old bikers. You know, I see a lot of old bikers. I know a few, you know, who are, I mean, like in their 50s and stuff, still have long hair and billions of tattoos, and they're comfortable and happy.
But that's a style that is not going to change with time. You could move into the biker world at any point from now until the end of the world.
True.
And it's going to be the same styles and fashions. I don't think that they're going to become, you know what I mean? So yeah. I think maybe the secret, what we're finding out here, is that you have to become timeless. You have to become one with time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, I agree with you there. I think that's
frankly,
how
I hate bell bottoms, and the fact that they're back.
Yeah,
and
but they sell real good. So
who's buying them?
All kinds of people, like old. Crusty old hippies and like, you know, 14-year-old girls.
Are you in the business of selling them or something?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So what's the new hot 70s fashion?
Platform shoes, man. But
really?
They don't want to go to Macy's and buy the ones that every other girl can buy. They want to find ones that are, you know, old and cool.
Wow, so you mean if I had a secret stash of platform shoes, I could make a fortune right now?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could come to my store in Chester.
I don't know about you, but girls always look better in platform shoes, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, it's something about that and, like, spike heels, you know. But I would suggest if you do have platform shoes, you bring them to my store in Chester, the Beauty of Civilization, right on Main Street, and I'd be happy to take them off your hands.
Off your feet.
True.
You mean? Okay. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, hi, Chris?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Oops, I'm sorry, I have my radio on and I couldn't hear myself. I'll turn it off. There we go. I think that your subject is great, and I think part of the problem is this humanity is too youth-obsessed, and you force out, in a way, the quote-unquote joys of getting older, which makes, in a way, a lot of people who might not be old farts.
I don't think that the humanity is youth-obsessed. I think the United States is youth-obsessed.
Oh, definitely. Well, Europe's pretty youth-obsessed, too.
Yeah,
everyone's obsessed with, you know, being young, being thin, being athletic, running around, and being this perfect vision of either Aryan hood or, you know, the typical American hood kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that forces a lot of resentment in people who lived through so much, we just discount them because they're not young.
It's terrible, ain't it?
They're all over the place. They're quote-unquote youthful. They're still having sex. They're going to the movies. They're doing everything that they did 30, 40, 50 years ago. And their children, my father and my uncle, are older than these two people who are in their 80s will ever be.
So they have a youthful outlook on life. They haven't become bitter and stagnant.
Because they never, and this may not be the key, but it may be one of them, they never lost their appreciation of art in some form. Be it reading, be it music, be it poetry, be it art exhibits. If you don't let some sort of art in your life, you're not letting any, you know, I hate to sound so metaphorical, but you're not letting any beauty in. All you're letting in is dark things. And you can't appreciate good things if you don't let them in your life. You have to have good and bad. And they just, like you said before, they stop listening to music. They just don't let anything good and light in their life anymore. They just concentrate on, oh my God, I have no money, the bills are high, taxes stink, there's crime everywhere. But there are good things too.
Well, I think people get trapped sometimes when they get older. They get trapped for a number of reasons. Number one is they're not really doing what they want to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
They end up doing what it is they think they should be doing in order to have security, in order to have a home, in order to have kids and all those things.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking about this recently and how it relates to me. You know, I'm happy in my job, but I don't know if it's the one that I would have chosen for myself. I sort of found myself in it. And, you know, I don't know that it's really fulfilling in an emotional sense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you stay in a job where, okay, I'm happy, but, gee, I probably could have done this.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, it really just smacks you in the face, you know.
Unless you can, and a lot of people, I guess, can't do this, take stock of yourself and say, well, you know, this is just a job. It's from 9 to 5 or 11 to 8 or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, but who do you know that's got a job that's just a job? I mean, jobs are, they usually define your life. They usually,
yeah.
It's just like Peter Boyle said in Taxi Driver. You know, a man gets a job and he becomes that job,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that applies to women too.
Of course.
I mean, you get a job and that's you, you know? It might as well be you.
Mm.
Unless you do a job that you want to be doing and that you enjoy.
There's very few of
and
us
it makes
are lucky
you happy.
To do that. I mean, I'm
no, because if we were all doing that, we'd all be race drivers and,
right.
and astronauts.
Rock stars, right,
and ballerinas, and yes.
I mean, I'm only 29, and I've had, I can't even count how many jobs I've had. I finally got one I love, but it's...
Well, I've had one more job than you.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to have an outlet, too. You have to have a way of blowing off steam and a way of... pursuing something you are interested in, even if it doesn't pay you.
Of course, you have to, right. It's, you know, it's like playing, if you're a musician and that's your sideline, if you're doing it because it's an outlet and because you enjoy it, great. If you can make money, fine. If you can, as long as it's letting off your steam.
Yes, that's true.
You made
Let me give out the phone number here again. Hang on. 201-678-7743 is the phone number here. We're at WFMU Uppsala College, East Orange on Aerial View.
Somebody who called you, well, mentioned that they thought you were cynical before, and you took offense at that.
I did not.
Well,
I am
took a little bit of offense at that. You got a little annoyed you played that music at, I mean, that little blurb at him.
Uh-huh.
But being cynical is not necessarily bad when it runs your life. It is when any emotion runs your life. But if you're not cynical, then you won't see the reality, right?
I think you could be realistic and not be cynical, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
When people say, let's be realistic, you always know that bad news is going to follow.
Exactly.
And I think that sometimes people who think they're being realistic are not really being realistic at all. They're filtering out all of the good things in their life and concentrating on the bad ones.
You're using cynicism as a crutch, as a way to say, well, nothing's good anyway, so forget it.
I use cynicism like a rubber mallet, not like a crutch at all.
As long as you're hitting other people in the head with it, it's fine.
See, in the world of auto wheel detailing, which is my chosen profession, and one that I am growing to love, rubber mallets are really important because a rubber mallet will put your hubcap back on but will not dent it.
Uh-huh.
And it's a lot like life, that rubber mallet.
Wow.
Think of it that way.
I've never thought of that analogy before, and it really is.
If you can figure that analogy out, get back to me on it.
I'll try.
Thanks.
Bye.
201-678-7743. Hello, welcome to the air.
What on earth is the topic?
The topic is old farts.
Okay, well, there's an old fart that I know that called into a radio station and asked what the heck is the topic.
Oh, really? Is that you,
yes,
sir?
Exactly.
Do you consider yourself an old fart?
Yes.
Why? How?
Because I'm 32 and it's getting harder and harder for me to get in shape each year after I take a couple of months off.
What, take a couple of months off of what?
Oh, bicycle riding and swimming and things like that.
Really? But you try to stay in shape, eh?
Yeah, I do, but I take a couple months off, and every year that goes by, it's been progressively harder and harder to lose that 3 or 4 pounds of the winter fat that I put on.
Well, see, you're not as young as you used to be, that's why.
I know.
But does that mean that you're an old fart? I mean, an old fart, that's a state of mind.
Is that really what the topic is, or I thought you were just...
No, I was making fun of you specifically.
I thought so. What is the topic tonight?
No, that is the topic. We were talking about how not to become an old fart.
Well, the way not to try not to become an old fart is to continue to do the things you enjoyed when you were young.
Okay. But, I mean, how do you keep from resenting everybody younger than you?
Oh, that's impossible.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean you're always going to look at young folks and resent them, their youth? I envy you your youth.
I envy youth right now, and a lot of people would say that I'm still young.
Like you envy 16-year-olds, or?
Well, not 16-year-olds. I envy 20-year-olds.
Really?
Yeah, but I do envy 20-year-olds. I'd rather be 20.
Really?
I'd rather be in college. I love college.
Yeah.
I have a child now and a wife, and I have a lot of responsibilities, all the things you were talking about, that people... I happen to like my job, but I would rather be in college drinking at the Rutgers pub.
Well, you know, that's why they have reunions and alumni meetings and stuff, don't they?
Yeah, but that might rekindle your youth for about 15 minutes, but then...
I missed out on this whole college thing, and when people talk about college and they wax nostalgic about it and they go on about it, I feel really left out.
Well, it was the greatest 4 years of my life.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. Wow. Maybe I should try this college thing.
Just start going right now. It is a little tough to go back to it if you didn't get there at the right age.
Yeah, because they see you as the old man on campus.
Yeah, there was a mystical feeling the first few months of college that I can never regain. But
mystical, eh?
It was another plane.
Wow.
Somehow I survived, though.
Great.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks
for allowing
calling.
Me the time.
Bye. Okay. 201-678-7743 is the phone over here. Anyway, more about Mr. Stein, who I began this program with. Mr. Stein always reminded me of... I'm trying to think of somebody who you could, like, then say, well, now I know what Mr. Stein looks like if I mention this person. And really, the only person I can come up with, as terrible as this sounds, is the farmer from American Gothic. And that painting, as far as I'm concerned, is far too exploited. It shows up in a different form every year in some kind of advertising campaign, and it's upsetting. But that farmer looked a lot like Mr. Stein, except put a hat on him. Put like one of those hunting caps on him. Hello, welcome to the air. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yes, am I on the air?
Yes, you're on the air.
Have you heard the term that's being used now by your yuppies and so on? Rather than saying old, they say chronologically challenged.
I can't say that I have.
Well, that's the euphemism they're trying to use instead of old age. Just thought I'd mention it to you.
Thanks.
Bye.
201-678-7743. Any other observations or things you'd like to mention, you can do so here. Mr. Stein looked like that with a hat. And he looked like a guy that should be toting a shotgun everywhere. In my memory, he is. He's toting a shotgun. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, you know, I think I've got a defining characteristic of old farts. I think they're nostalgic, almost invariably.
Yeah, they don't look forward, do they? They only look backward.
Well, yeah, and perhaps looking backwards is what is prevent. I think the question is why they only look backwards. You know, it's because.
Well, because it's better. Because they know what's to come. What's to come is death.
Or it's somehow the yeah that could be part of it. But
no,
it
no,
be,
no, no, no,
no, no, no, no. Yeah, it's part. No. Listen, it could also be just a general, you know, non. Open-mindedness or closed-mindedness about you know just learning and learning new things.
Well,
and being creative, you know.
I think old farts think about the world and they say to themselves, things would be all right. Things would be good if everything was just the way it used to be.
That's such a chicken. That's such a cop out. It's an incredible cop out. I mean, nothing is ever going to be the way it used to be.
And it wasn't the way it used to be even when it was. I mean. You know, those good old days that they want to hearken back to...
Weren't so great.
Well, for a lot of people, they weren't. And over the years, as time passes you by, you begin to cast a new light on things. I will never say that my childhood was good or great or anything.
I
will never say that my school years were fun or interesting.
I'm not nostalgic at all. I went to college. I had fun.
I went to two years of high school.
I wouldn't, you know, that was like almost 10 years ago. I wouldn't go back for anything. I like things now much better.
I went to 2 years of night school, and all that I remember is the air of desperation. The fact that I was sitting in a classroom. Well, I was sitting in a classroom with people who were not only younger than me, but older than me, much older than me. And the look of fear in their faces because they thought they wouldn't learn something. And they wouldn't pass a test that would lead to more pay.
Oh my. Look, I like saw this show on TV. I think it's on Channel 5 here. It's called something like Class of 2000 or something like that. Class of 96 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah.
That is, it's just the perfect, you know, mythologization of the... college dream. Everybody's beautiful, and
everybody
the women
gets
are beautiful,
sex,
and
everybody
sex
and everybody drinks,
and everybody loves their class,
and everybody's
and
intellectual,
amazing,
and has great
professors.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, man, it's just not like that.
Wow.
So if you want to, you know, if you want to pretend.
I wonder if they're going to go into the show afterwards where everyone has to pay their school loans back.
Oh yeah, who knows? You know, or you know, if you want to pretend. You want to have pretend memories of college, the good ones, watch that show, I guess, because I thought...
Or Animal House, for that matter.
Oh, another one. Yeah, the Animal House actually skewed me very badly, because I saw Animal House when I was like 15, and I thought, wow, college is going to be awesome.
Just a never-ending party,
and it just,
where we
it,
never have to take responsibility for anything.
I was seriously disappointed.
Wow.
I was very seriously disappointed.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I'm just getting over it now, actually, 10 years later. No.
My alma mater is What's the Matter You? Hello, welcome to the air.
Hello, Chris. How you doing?
Okay.
Are we still talking about old fogeydom?
Yes, we are.
And nostalgia, anti-nostalgia.
Okay. Well, on the subject of old fogeydom, I found myself creeping into that in the last couple of years. I'm about 35 years old. And what I found was that if you try to do things that are personally satisfying and that are kind of, I hate to use the word self-improvement, but, you know, if you do things in that regard... you know, just to make you feel a little more satisfied with your current life, I think what happens is when you get older and then you look back on youth, you kind of have fonder memories of it, so you don't resent
all the kids who you think are doing much better than you did.
Yes, exactly.
Hmm.
That's part of it. I find that that was part of my resentment to some younger people I'd see. I just saw that they were doing it so much better than I did.
Yeah.
So
but you know, but they have different, you know.
Yeah.
I still remember when I lived in the town of Tenafly. And the town of Tenafly is an upper middle class, oh, not even middle, let's take out the middle, and
yeah.
An upper class enclave of doctors and lawyers and their children. And I remember when I first moved there, I mean, having come from a really firmly, you know, middle, maybe lower middle class background, it was astounding to me to see kids, you know, so well dressed and well groomed.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they would pull up to the movie theater in their dad's Range Rover and jump out, and they all looked really healthy.
Yeah.
And, like, they were, you know, having a really wonderful time with life.
Yeah.
And I remember the resentment that I felt. I remember feeling really resentful, thinking, well, that wasn't me at that age. Boy, oh, boy.
Exactly. I live in near Bensonhurst in Brooklyn,
But let me finish.
Sorry.
I just got to finish the point here.
Sure.
I felt bad for a little while, and then I had to remember that, okay, well, I didn't have all that advantage, and I didn't have all those things that these people have. But, you know, I'm still at the point that I'm at now, regardless. It's not like it hampered me, and
good.
It's not like it held me back from enjoying life somewhat. You know what I mean?
Right. Very good.
Don't envy. Envy is the kind of thing that will turn you into an old fart really fast.
Yeah. Everyone's got trade-offs.
Yeah. You know what I find it's a lot like, too? It's a lot like racism in a way, in that as you get older, you can fall into that if you don't apply your mind to certain situations. You know, like it's very easy to fall into the all of them or them type of thinking, which
yeah.
is really non-thinking, whenever you have a bad experience with a youth or someone from a different nationality or something. And I find the temptation to do that as I get older, it's more and more encouraged because more and more people around you are falling for it.
Uh-huh.
And you really have to consciously, you know, one is remember what it was like when you were young and just try to say, hey, you know, I resented people categorizing me, so why the hell am I doing it? And, you know, and just try to think of the people that you're dealing with who you might be tempted to envy. Try to think of them as individuals and to just not fall for that line, because it's very easy to categorize people and use that to think less of them.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay, have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye.
Have a good weekend. That's good advice.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Hello.
Hi.
This is not Martha. This is the Martha wannabe.
Yeah. And?
Yeah. I like Martha a lot.
That's really exciting.
Who's Martha?
Person that calls here. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hello, Chris. This is Neil calling. Isn't it kind of about, like, being happy with where you are? Because you could be, like, young and want to be old. You could be old, want to be young. Or you could be in the East Coast, want to be in the West Coast.
Hey, this is like that Shag song, Philosophy of the World. You know, I think the Shag really summed it up. So you were saying?
No, I just think that... a lot of people want to be somewhere else where they're not, and it could really be generalized to that. It's not just age, but just, you know, not being happy with where you're at.
I say be happy with yourself.
That's it.
First.
That's
it. Be happy with yourself. And don't resent and envy. And don't become bitter and nostalgic. And these are the ways you will keep from becoming an old fart. And give a kid's ball back if he hits it into your yard, for
Amen.
God's sakes.
Amen.
You know, be a nice old man. Walk over and say, excuse me, sonny, is this your ball?
Is there anything nicer than a nice old man?
There's nothing better.
Nothing better.
Nothing better than a nice old man, you know? And even better is a nice old lady. There's a nice old lady over where I live now who runs the thrift shop, you know, on Palisades Road or something in Edgewater. And she does it, you know, just for the sake of charity. She has a thrift shop over there. And every time I go in there, she's really nice. She's a nice old lady. She says, hi, Chris, how are you? Nice to see you back again. Let me show you what we have, you know.
How old is she?
Oh, I'd say she's probably late 60s.
Okay, she realizes that she's old then.
Yeah, but she doesn't act like, you know, she doesn't shuffle around and hobble around and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think she's an old lady who took care of herself when she was young, you know.
Sounds like that's it.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice old lady. Thanks for calling.
Good talking to you.
You know, we could all learn from that nice old lady. 201-678-7743 is the phone number here. You're listening to Aerial View on WFMU, Uppsala College, East Orange. Hello, welcome to the air. Hey, that was a quick call. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, Chris, I'll tell you what an old fart is. An old fart is me. Now, I just come home. Nobody's home. I got a chance to play my Jimi Hendrix album that I bought at a garage sale with Otis Redding on one side and him on the other, you know, the Monterey Pop. And I can't get the damn phono to work because my kids were playing with it. And all the way home, I'm listening to him saying, I'm going to call up and tell him it's easy to be old gracefully. All you have to do is have good karma. You know, you can kind of tell who's going to grow old gracefully when they're young. You can tell who has good karma and who don't. And here I am now cursing and swearing because I can't get my phono to work because the kids did something.
What's wrong with the phono?
I don't know.
Let's see if we can help you fix it right here on the air.
Man, if you could, I swear, I'll blast you right out because I got the power on, and it's got this stupid switch, tuner, phono, and auxiliary.
Uh-huh.
And I keep switching them back and forth, alternating. The damn record is playing, and I'm getting nothing.
Now, wait a minute. What did your kids do to it? What did they do to the phono?
I don't know what they could have done, those kids. I don't know what they could have done.
Here, can you do this for me? Lift up the tone arm and scratch your finger on the needle and see if you're hearing anything.
Affirmative.
You do hear something?
Yeah.
And when you put the needle down on the record, nothing?
Nothing, just a hum. Just a dull hum.
Oh, wait a minute. It's not grounded properly.
Are
do you
kidding?
Do you have a ground wire on that phono?
Well, I'd have to turn the thing around, which is what I'm going to do now.
Okay, out of the back of your phono, there should be two wires, left and right channel, and then a ground wire, which is like a separate wire.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes if the ground wire comes loose, you'll hear a terrible hum.
Well, that's what's happening. Maybe one of their videotapes. This reminds me of the Saturday Night Live skit when people called up the President Carter.
Oh, yeah. And he brought him down from acid, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, well, hey, thanks
you for
that.
You mean when Saturday Night Live was good?
Did you notice, speaking of...
I want to give you another tip on this phono business before you go. If you have the older style cartridge, and it's not what they call P-mount, which means it plugs into the head shell.
Yeah.
If you have the older style, sometimes the wires from the back of the cartridge will work themselves loose.
Uh-huh.
And there are four wires. There are two for each channel. And you have to make sure that all four of those wires are touching or hooked up to the little pins on the cartridge. Otherwise, you're going to get a terrible humming.
And that could be it.
That could be it, too.
Kids are playing with it.
Those rotten kids. These
Damn
kids
it.
Today.
Kids, can't they keep their hands off things that don't
You know, that's the good thing about a CD player is, like, there's no parts that you can break yourself.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll have to run out and buy one tonight, then.
A CD player to listen to your records on? I don't think so.
Yeah, you're right. Damn kids. All right.
Okay,
well,
thanks.
Thanks for the tip, President Carter.
You got it. Bye.
You know, the great thing about old stuff, too, is sometimes people get rid of it because they don't know how it works and they don't care. They buy new things. I had an acoustic research turntable given to me by somebody who could care less about such things. Now, it's like the mother of all turntables. It's huge and heavy, and it's got just two speeds on it. And in order to change the speed, you have to take the platter off and move the belt yourself. You can't just switch it from 33 to 45, you know? But it works. It still works. It'll keep working forever, probably. People do that all the time. You see that stuff lying in the garbage. I was walking down the street in Hoboken one day, and I saw a pair of Ricoh-cut turntables in the garbage. Someone had thrown them out because they got a CD player. So it's halcyon days for those of you who like your records and like turntables. Because, you know, you can look at a WAN ads and pick things up for $30 that just 3 or 4 years ago you couldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. This is no lie. 201-678-7743. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, how you doing? All right, you stop talking about turntables now. We got a major subject here with the old farts. It's definitely entirely in your head. I've got my father's pushing, he's almost 63 now, and most of the time people accuse me of being his brother, because he acts so young, you know, he plays racquetball, he'd probably run me into the ground on the court.
Really?
Yeah, no problem.
Do you think, do you like your old man?
Absolutely.
What are you going to do for him for Father's Day? You know, it's coming up.
Oh, man, hadn't thought about it. When's it coming?
It's like June something. June 18th, maybe, or something? I don't know.
A couple years ago, I took him golfing.
It's been a long time since I celebrated Father's Day.
Well, how come?
Me and my dad, we're just estranged, you know? We don't really see each other or talk to each other at all.
Well, that's a bad sign as far as you're concerned.
Why?
Responsibility for that lies on the younger.
On the younger?
Sure.
How do you mean?
Well, you got to figure, you have an opportunity to be smarter, and you know.
Hey, I tried to reconcile with my dad. It didn't work. I made all of the overtures. My dad hasn't been around since I was like 14. He divorced my mother and moved away, and I saw very little of him in those ensuing years. You know, And it just gradually became like nothing. It was like we didn't contact each other for years. And the last time I went and saw him, it was because I wanted to see him. And it just didn't work out. It just was he had these certain conditions that must be met for us to see each other. And it was as simple as that, you know. I thought that at the age I'm at, you know, I can't be meeting these conditions.
How about, do you have kids?
No.
You don't. How come?
I haven't gotten around to it yet.
Well, see, that's where you got to learn from him and make sure you're there for your kids.
I will. I'll be there for my kids, damn it. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, I don't have any problem with my turntable, but could you help me program my VCR?
Sure.
All right.
What kind of VCR is it?
It's a Fisher 2200.
It's like an older model.
Yeah, it's real
old. What do the switches say on the front panel?
Well, I got a button that says select and enter, and that's it.
Select and enter. Does any of the buttons say clock or counter?
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with the programming, I don't think.
But in order for your VCR to work right, the clock has to be set properly.
Oh, so
is it
set
to the time?
No, I haven't set the clock.
Does it say 6:56?
It just says 12 over and over.
No, you have to... Here's what you have to do. You have to find the switch that says clock or counter, and it may be under a hidden panel. You have to get it into the clock mode.
All right.
And then hit select. What happens?
All right, wait a second. It's still blinking.
Hit select.
It's not doing anything.
When you hit select and then you hit enter, what does it do?
It still blinks. It's just doing what it always does.
Hit both of them at the same time.
Wait a minute. Oh, I didn't have the power on. Okay, now it's solid. It's not blinking anymore.
Hit select, and what do you see?
Now I just see the load number 12.
Okay, is it blinking?
No, it's solid now.
Okay, hit enter and make it scroll up until it says 7.
All right.
Okay, now hit select again.
All right, now I got the minutes.
And hit them until they say 56.
Okay, cool.
This is going to take a while.
Yeah.
You also have to set the day. There has to be an indicator for the day of the week on there somewhere.
All right, yeah, I see it. I got it.
What do you got now? What does it say?
Wait a second. It's set on Sunday. Okay.
It's Friday. Set it to Friday.
Yeah, I know. I had to go through the week.
Okay, so it says Friday, and what time?
7:56.
Is there a PM indicator?
It's
6:56, by the way.
Oh. Well, I got it set at 7:56, so I'll just have to program everything an hour earlier.
No. Just make it 6:56. It's no big deal, really.
Okay.
I'm helping you here.
All right, wait a second. All right.
I feel like I'm doing something for mankind.
Okay, it's set now.
Okay, now, your display is no longer flashing and it's got the proper time, right?
Right.
Okay, now make sure no one trips over the cord or you're right back to ground zero.
Okay.
Now, the next thing you could try...
You're going to do this every time?
The next thing you should try is looking for a program button somewhere. I mean, there's got to be more than two buttons. It doesn't just say select and enter. What are the other buttons?
There's a plus and a minus, which I know how to use that.
Yeah, screw that. That's not the button.
All right.
What's the other buttons?
And then program.
Program. Hit program.
Okay. Okay, now I got a 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. Now hit select.
Uh-huh.
What do you got?
Now it's asking, I don't know, it's got four zeros and the flashings.
Four zeros and flashing.
Yeah.
Hit select again.
Okay. Now it's asking for the day.
Okay, now set it to whatever day you want to record on.
Okay. All right, now what?
Now hit select again. It should ask you for an hour.
Yeah, it's saying off, though.
You did something wrong.
Oh, man.
You get the idea now? The idea is to keep hitting select and enter.
Okay.
Okay? And you got to set a start time and a finish time.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's it. You're home free.
All right, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, how you doing, Chris? Getting back to turntables.
Yeah.
I was in Salvation Army a couple weeks ago, and I got this thing. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it. It's a Sony portable linear tracking turntable. It takes four AA batteries. It's got two headphone jacks. It looks kind of like a CD player, but you put the record, it either takes 45s or LPs, and you like put it in the slot, and then you turn this knob down and press on, and the thing looks like it must be from like the early 80s. I think what it is the Sony brains over there must have said, oh, we have the Walkman, now let's create the Record Man.
Does it work?
It works. It works. It's in excellent condition. I paid $10 for it. They thought it was a broken CD player because I couldn't get a CD in it.
Really?
But it's incredible. I mean, I've never seen anything like it before.
And you could take it to parties and things.
You could take it to parties. You could put it onto, like, one of those little amplifier systems.
Oh, gee, I want that, boy. Sell it to me.
It is. No.
I'll give you $12 for
it. It's incredible, though. It's, like, in mint condition, and I've never seen anything like it.
Fabio is drooling, you know, because he DJs at many an affair, and he's thinking, wow, if I only had that Sony whatchamacallit.
And it's just like linear tracking, and it's got a
linear tracking is the biggest bogus bunch of garbage ever known to man.
Oh, I know, but I mean, how could you have a tone arm if you have this little thing you're supposed to carry around with you?
Yeah, that's true.
But it's incredible because the thing works.
Those people at Sony are too much.
It's amazing. I've never seen it. So, if anybody ever sees this thing, it looks really weird. Buy it. Grab it.
Thanks for calling. Okay. You will not be an old fart with your Sony linear tracking
really?
Portable battery operated turntable.
I felt like one because they said, "Oh, it's not a CD player." I said, "No, it's records." And they all looked at me like I was an old fart.
This is quickly turning into the audio review show. Thanks.
What can we do? Bye.
Okay, that's Aerial View for this week. Thanks for being here. Fabio follows.
How many times do I have to tell you? It's Fabio. Fabio. And it doesn't matter if you call me Fabio or Fabio. That was a motion picture studio coming to see me.
The king of giants.